It's Saturday, October 20th, 2018, Mount Vernon, Virginia. This is literally this week. Hello, this is Keith F. Shovlin, publisher of AS21 Media, here to bring you the literary news from the third full week of October 2018.
Sunday.
Top story from Bleeding Cool. Stephen Hawking predicted superhumans will destroy humanity. Well, that's a cold wake-up on a Sunday morning. In a collection of articles and essays by the late physicist Professor Stephen Hawking, he was suggested that a new race of superhumans will emerge from the wealthy, editing their DNA and that of their children to create superhumans with enhanced memory, disease resistance, intelligence, and longevity, and that they could destroy the rest of humanity. With extracts in today's Sunday Times, the book Brief Answers to Big Questions will be published on Tuesday. Hawking wrote before his death in March, "I am sure that during the century, people will discover how to modify both intelligence and instincts such as aggression. Laws will probably be passed against genetic engineering with humans, but some people won't be able to resist the temptation to improve human characteristics such as memory, resistance to disease, and length of life. That once such superhumans appear, there will be significant political problems with unimproved humans who won't be able to compete. Presumably, they will die out or become unimportant. Instead, there will be a race of self-designing beings who are improving at an ever-increasing rate. Maybe a legion of them?" I feel like this was an episode of Star Trek. Or a few episodes of Star Trek. Also in the news on Sunday from the Book Center, Setzer and Al-Kassimi confirmed to lead IPA. Hugo Setzer, CEO of Mexico publisher Manuel Moderno, and Bador Al-Kassimi, founder and CEO of the UAE's Calamet Group, have been confirmed as future president and vice president of the International Publishers Association. From InfoDocket, research article, format shift, information behavior and user experience in the academic e-book environment. This article seeks to understand information behavior in the context of the academic e-book user experience, shaped by a disparate set of vendor platforms licensed by libraries. From LitHub, how the communist blacklist shaped the entertainment industry as we know it. Avoid anything that can be construed as progressive or risk never working in television again. And finally on Sunday from the LA Review of Books, why we need erotica. There's no obvious reason that a movement against misogyny, sexual assault, and non-consensual advances should be incompatible with fantasies of consensual sexual submission.
Monday.
Top story from Global Voices. Will fake news carry Brazil's favored far-right candidate to victory? Latin America's largest democracy may be on the verge of electing a president whose campaign has been propelled by violence, vicious rumors of fraud, and cascade of online news and information that has proven to be false. Far-right PSL party candidate Jair Bolsonaro, a former army captain who has served in Brazil's National Congress since 1991, will head to the October 28th runoff vote with a wide lead amid an ever-rising tide of fake news that appears to have benefited his candidacy. Despite having purchased only 8 seconds of TV time in a country where television ads have historically decided the winner, Bolsonaro finished the first round of voting in first place with 46% of the total valid votes, against 29% for his leftist rival, Workers' Party candidate Fernando Haddad. He is leading the latest polls with support of 58% of Brazilians. Facebook's products have figured prominently in the groundswell of support for Bolsonaro, alongside ample coverage by regional and national media outlets reflecting a range of perspectives on Bolsonaro and the other candidates. Facebook and WhatsApp have seen a flurry of false and misleading posts promoting the far-right candidate. Although his campaign season has been anything but typical, Bolsonaro has barely been seen in public since September 6, when he was stabbed and critically wounded at a rally by an opposition supporter. His message appears to have reached millions of Brazilians that rely on Facebook and WhatsApp as their primary venue to read the news. He has also taken to Facebook on his own terms, broadcasting brief messages via Facebook Live. Also in the news on Monday from Publishers Weekly, the Iranian-American couple dominating Persian cookbooks. Mage is a small house, Muhammad is its publisher, and he and Najmeh are its only full-time employees. Other staffers, including copy editors, typesetters, and the like, work part-time. From the bookseller, public nominations invited for National Poetry Day Anthology. Michael Amara Books and the Ford Arts Foundation are publishing a poetry anthology to celebrate National Poetry Day's 25th anniversary in October 2019. From The Guardian, Unseen Tales reveal the young Rudyard Kipling honing his skills. The Jungle Book author's vivid early stories from India are being published, many for the first time. And finally on Monday from Lit Hub, No, I Can't Break Your Hair, Why Librarians Need Boundaries Too. Please respect information professionals and do not follow them home. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
Listeners to this and other podcasts of the AS21 Podcast Network are eligible for a free audiobook from Audible. Sign up today at audibletrial.com/AS21 and get your first month on the service for free, which means you get your first audiobook for free. And once you download that audiobook, it is yours forever. This past week, I finished Plane to the Edge by General Michael V. Hayden and followed it up by Susan Collins' Catching Fire, the second book in the Hunger Games trilogy. Now I'm reading Higher Loyalty by James B. Comey. When I'm done with that, I'll probably go back to finish the Hunger Games trilogy. I even spoke to a friend of mine this week who signed up to Audible on my recommendation, and she had read the wonderful Lafayette and the Somewhat United States by Sarah Vowell, and told me how much she loved being able to hear all the different voices come together to make that book come alive. So that could happen to you as well. Just go to audibletrial.com/AS21 and sign up. Get your first month for free, get that first audiobook for free, and also get access to Audible Originals, which are long-form storytelling podcasts, even better produced than the ones you're listening to for free. So that's part of the service they offer. And of course, everything you download from Audible, once you download it, it is yours forever, whether you stick with the service or not. So go to audibletrial.com/AS21 today and sign up and put your reading in your ear.
Tuesday.
Top story from The New Yorker. 1 year of #MeToo, he said, she said, is a literary problem, too. It's been a year of math. How many less famous women equal one famous man? How many female words of accusation equal how many male words of denial? How many reported articles does it take to topple one network executive? How many women's careers derailed add up to 9 months of a man's professional banishment? How many credible allegations of sexual harassment and assault render a presidential candidate unelectable? Answer, some number greater than 20. #MeToo has made us all into algebra students, solving and resolving for X and Y. There is something almost cathartic about turning into a number, all about seeing your value or lack thereof confirmed with frankness and neutrality. Math is the enemy of gray areas. Math is pay inequalities and rape statistics. The literal meaning and the enthralling promise of the phrase held to account is that one might open the books and force a settlement. In the arts, too, gendered power analyses often manifest as quantification. How many male writers do we read versus how many female? How many books by men versus women earn reviews in how many magazines? And how many awards do the books receive? And what are the gender compositions of the judging committees? The understanding is that decisions about who gets noticed and praised have implications for what kinds of viewpoints and behaviors are enshrined as valid. Also in the news on Tuesday, from the bookseller, sales of dropped Man Booker longlistees outstrip finalists. Sales of the Man Booker Prize titles dropped at the longlist stage have significantly outsold its shortlist, according to Nielsen BookScan, with Belinda Bauer's Snap the top seller. From DigiDay, what Norwegian publisher Aller Media has learned from its personalized paywall. Digital ad revenue still pays the bills for Nordic publishing group Aller Media, which is over 30 magazine titles, but like other publishers, it's under pressure to drive more subscription revenue to offset print declines. From The Guardian, forgotten female poet of First World War to be honored at Armistice Centenary, Mary Borden's passionate sonnet was addressed to a British soldier with whom she had an affair while running a field hospital at the Battle of the Somme. From Bustle, Anne Frank's diary just got a graphic adaptation and is a stunning update of the Holocaust memoir. Anne Frank's The Diary of a Young Girl is, for many young people, an introduction to the atrocities of the Holocaust. A new reinvention of the book hopes to draw in more new readers. Diaries of a Young Girl has been adapted into a graphic memoir called Anne Frank's Diary, The Graphic Adaptation. Written by Ari Folman and illustrated by David Polonsky, the graphic book expands on the original story in extraordinary ways. From the Internet Archive, the Music Modernization Act is now law, which means some pre-1972 music goes public. One portion of the MMA makes older sound recordings published before 1972 more available to the public. It expands an obscure provision of a library exception to U.S. Copyright Law Section 108H to apply to all pre-72 recordings. And finally on Tuesday from LitHub, how to write a fellowship essay when surrounded by chaos. On disorder, success, and trying to find a chronology.
Wednesday.
Top story from the Man Booker Prize. Anna Burns wins 50th Man Booker Prize with Milkman. Milkman by Anna Burns is named winner of the 2018 Man Booker Prize for Fiction. It is her third full-length novel and her first major award. Burns, 56, was born in Belfast and lives in East Sussex, drew on the experience of Northern Ireland during the Troubles to write Milkman. Her first acclaimed novel, No Bones, was also set in this period. She saw off competition from two British writers, two American writers, and one Canadian writer. Set in an unnamed city, Milkman focuses on middle sister as she navigates her way through rumor, social pressures, and politics in a tight-knit community. Burns shows the dangerous and complex outcome that can happen to a woman coming of age in a city at war. The Telegraph described the novel as viciously funny, praising Burns for her ability to paint a colorful social scene. Meanwhile, the Irish Times wrote that Burns has created a novel that is an impressive, wordy, often funny book, and confirms Anna Burns as one of our rising literary stars. Also in the news on Wednesday from Focus Taiwan, Taiwanese bookstore to open retail store in Tokyo. Elite Spectrum Corp., which runs the popular Elite bookstore chain in Taiwan, Hong Kong, and China, said Tuesday that it will open a retail outlet in Tokyo's Nihonbashi next fall, its first presence in a non-Chinese market. Elite will occupy about 2,970 square meters on the second floor of a building that is close to Tokyo Station. From the bookseller, Feminist Library crowdfunds for new Peckham home. The Feminist Library has launched a £30,000 crowdfunding campaign to enable it to move premises to a community center in Peckham, South London, from its Westminster home of 30 years. From Trinity College in Dublin, Trinity marks launch of Oscar Wilde digital collection with public lecture. Trinity College Library will mark the launch of a digital version of its precious Oscar Wilde collection with a public lecture by Michelle Mendelssohn, Associate Professor of English at the University of Oxford, and author of the hugely successful biography Making Oscar Wilde, on Wednesday, October 17th. From Vanity Fair, the Westworld, Deuce, and Maniac TV writers who started out as novelists. At Vanity Fair's new establishment summit, the scribe described the writer's room learning curve, invisible rules, advocating for female characters, and endless licorice. And finally, on Wednesday from LitHub, Susan Orlean, librarians are heroic. All-star librarian Kristen Arnett talks to the author of The Library Book.
Thursday.
Top story from The Guardian, can picture books meet the crisis in children's mental health? With 1 in 4 children who are referred to child and adolescent mental health services turned away, a wave of illustrated fiction is attempting to help children as young as 3 manage their feelings of worry and stress. Childhood is not always a carefree time, and lots of children face challenges they have to overcome, says Tom Percival, author-illustrator of Ruby's Worry, a picture book for 3 to 6-year-olds. Published in July, it tells the story of a little girl whose worry follows her around, growing steadily bigger and more upsetting, till she opens up about it to a friend. I deliberately didn't make it about a specific problem, Percival explains. I want to explore the ideas of worry, concern, and anxiety. When Ruby's worrying, the world around her is muted in dark shades of gray. But when she shares her story, a rainbow of color explodes on the page, and her worry shrinks away until it is barely there at all. Percival hopes the book will help to start conversations. When I ask my kids how school was, they tend to reply, "Yeah, fine." It's not until a few days later, quite often at bedtime, after we've read a story, that I hear how actually so-and-so has said something to upset them. Also in the news on Thursday from the bookseller, Milkman reprint soars to 100,000 after phenomenal demand. Faber has raised its reprint number for Anna Burns' Milkman from 45,000 to 100,000, following phenomenal demand way ahead of the initial numbers retailers quoted after the novel's Man Booker win. From the National Association of State Chief Information Officers and the Council of State Archivists, report State Archiving in the Digital Era, states uniquely hold important records on their citizens from birth to marriage to property to death, as well as records that hold general historic significance. For the last several years, the number of digital records created by state governments has been rapidly increasing. Many states are finding that they are unprepared to deal with the unique management and preservation issues that are related to digital archives. The NASCIO, along with COSA, created this playbook for the preservation of state electronic records. This document includes 11 plays that state officials should consider when working together toward the preservation of digital archives. From LitHub, Why America's Best Political Novelist is Required Reading in 2018, on the prescience of war just. And finally, on Thursday from the Washington Post, what are we teaching boys when we discourage them from reading books about girls? Author Shannon Hale writes, "It's clear that our culture assumes, one, boys aren't going to like a book that stars a girl, and two, men's stories are universal, while women's stories are only for girls." We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
This episode is brought to you by BookBite. Sell used textbooks. Sell your textbooks online and get paid cash. If you're selling textbooks to BookBite, you only need a textbook's title or ISBN, and if a title or ISBN on the book you want to sell in the sell search bar, you'll see the copy of a textbook and how much we're offering for it. If you're happy with the price, click Continue Sale and complete the process. With BookBite's comprehensive guide to getting textbooks for the lowest prices, you can save up to 90%. Check out their cheat sheet on the top 3 strategies for getting cheap textbooks, plus read their comprehensive articles that cover every conceivable way of saving money on your textbooks. Visit today bookbite.pxf.io/as21 and show your support for our podcast, purchase your textbook through BookBite, and save. That's bookbite.pxf.io/as21, or click on the banner on the AS21 audio page.
Friday.
Top story from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Todd Bull, creator of the Little Free Library movement, dies at 62. Todd Bull hammered together the first Little Free Library, then he built a movement around it. Bull believed the now ubiquitous little boxes of books and the neighbors who cared for them could change a block, a city, the world. So he brought them to front yards all over, often installing them himself. Known for his wild optimism and keen business sense, the Little Free Library founder died Thursday morning, just weeks after he was found to have pancreatic cancer. Using wood from his old garage door, Bull fashioned the first library on a stick in 2009 on his deck in Hudson, Wisconsin. It was a tribute to his mom, June Bull, who was always welcoming kids to their Stillwater kitchen table for a sandwich or help with homework. It was a spiritual gesture, Bull explained in 2013. At a garage sale in 2010, his neighbors cooed, so he built a few more boxes, selling one and giving away a few dozen more. Bull set a goal of 2,150 to beat the number of Carnegie libraries in the country. Less than a decade later, more than 75,000 dollhouse-sized libraries have sprouted on front lawns in 88 countries. Also in the news on Friday from the bookseller, Hodder withdraws sociology textbook over offensive statements. Hodder Education has withdrawn a GCSE sociology textbook from sale after concerns were raised that it contained a number of offensive statements about minority groups. The publisher withdrew all outstanding stock of the AQA GCSE 9-to-1 sociology textbook last week. The book is no longer available to purchase, and a fully revised edition will be published next year. From the National Heritage Digitization Strategy, 21 projects approved for funding across Canada. The National Heritage Digitization Strategy, providing $1 million to support 21 projects by archives, libraries, and documentary heritage institutions throughout Canada. The recipients of the Digitization Canadian Collection funding call were announced in an event held at the Vancouver Public Library. The opportunity was made possible thanks to a generous gift from a private foundation. From LitHub, Jennifer Egan writes why PEN America is suing Donald Trump. On Tuesday, PEN America filed suit against President Trump for using his presidential powers to attempt to silence and punish journalists and news outlets whose coverage displeases him. PEN America is a literary nonprofit comprised of writers, journalists, editors, and translators, all united around the goal of celebrating writing and defending the freedoms that make it possible. They believe, along with their legal representatives, Protect Democracy and the Yale Law School Media Freedom and Information Clinic, that President Trump's threats and punitive actions infringe upon the First Amendment rights of our members. Worse, they imperil our free press, one of the cornerstones of a healthy democracy. From the bookseller opinion piece, Bookers, Burns, and Bounces, Philip Jones writes, "Is the Man Booker Prize losing its edge? I'm asking not for a friend, but for all who wish the world's premier literary award would reassert itself at a time when we need good books made with intent to sell well." And finally, on Friday from Bustle, Gloria Steinem recommended 35 books for Strand Bookstore, and it's basically a feminist lit primer. The esteemed Gloria Steinem has not only been a women's rights activist and legendary icon for the last 5 decades, she's been a writer, too. Steinem actually began her career freelance writing for Esquire, Cosmopolitan, and New York Magazine before founding the revolutionary Ms. Magazine in 1972. She has also authored 7 books of her own, her most famous being the widely celebrated My Life on the Road. Basically, Steinem knows a thing or two about great books by women, and luckily for readers everywhere, she just recommended 35 of them for her author's bookshelf at the Strand Bookstore in New York City, and Bustle's got more on the selections online.
Saturday.
Top story from Quartz, smartphones are endangering Iceland's love of books. Every holiday season, publishers and licensors prepare for Jolla Boca Flodid, the traditional Christmas book flood. The Jolla Boca Flodid, in which Icelandic publishers release most of their new books in the months before Christmas, traces back to 1944, when Iceland gained independence from Denmark. Paper was one of the few goods not rationed on the island, making books a popular gift. But that tradition is struggling to hang on in the increasingly digitized world. Icelanders aren't buying nearly as many books as they used to. From 2010 to 2017, book sales in Iceland dropped 43%. In August, Iceland Monitor reported the book sales had fallen another 5% from the same period in 2017. Icelanders are also reading less than they used to. According to a recent poll in Iceland cited by The Guardian, 13.5% of respondents said they hadn't read a single book in 2017, compared to 7% who claimed to have read zero books in 2010. The poll also found that 42% of Icelanders didn't receive a book for Christmas, stemming the Yuletide flood. The number of books published in Iceland has declined steadily since 2011, according to data from Statistics Iceland, a government agency. Also in the news on Saturday from Global Voices, Hong Kong Free Expression Week features umbrella movement activist and political cartoonist Badia Chow. A collection of organizations that defend free speech, Hong Kong Free Press, Reporters Without Borders, and Amnesty International have joined hands to host Hong Kong's Free Expression Week starting November 3rd. From the bookseller, Mosley wins Polari First Book Prize. Fiona Mosley has won the Polari First Book Prize 2018 for her Man Booker shortlisted debut, Element. From the Big Ten Academic Alliance, libraries addressing the need for sustainable access to scholarly publications. In order to provide access to scholarly journal literature that is necessary for learning and innovation across the Big Ten universities, libraries must enter in agreements with publishers who control pricing in a restricted, monopolistic market. Year-on-year publisher inflation added to the library's investment in journals, books, data, and media results in reductions of the library's purchasing power. The Big Ten Academic Alliance libraries are working to leverage their collective buying power and to use their influence to offset traditional publisher price increases to provide alternative paths to publication for scholarly authors. And finally, closing out the day and the week from Quartz, the strange true life story of the literary scammer Lee Israel. Lee Israel was washed up at age 50. The writer and biographer's book ideas weren't selling, and she wasn't even being invited to martini lunches in Manhattan to get turned down. The woman who had profiled Katharine Hepburn and had a book hit the New York Times bestseller list was desperate. In Can You Ever Forgive Me, out in the U.S. theaters October 19th, Melissa McCarthy plays the disheveled real-life writer who died in 2015. In her 2008 memoir of the same name, Israel describes the lengths she went to make money when she had no book prospects, had been fired from several low-level editorial jobs, and was on welfare with a sick cat whose treatment she couldn't afford. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor with the bestseller list from Fiona the Computer.
This episode is sponsored by...
Join AS21 as we continue to take our show on the road, this time heading down to Charlottesville, Virginia, for the Blue Ridge Writers 2018 Book and Arts Fair. Sponsored by the Blue Ridge Writers Chapter of Virginia Writers Club, it's Saturday, October 27, 2018, at City Space in downtown Charlottesville. 35 local authors of adult and children's literature, programs, music, refreshments, and good cheer. Talk with the authors, poets, and fiction and nonfiction writers who inspire your reading life. That's City Space on the second floor of Market Street Garage in Charlottesville. For more information, visit www.blueridgewriters.com. AS21 will be back once again after attending it last year when it was titled the Charlottesville Book Festival. And this time we're going with our microphone and we're going to be interviewing some of the authors that are on display. So be on the lookout for that to come out in the next month's episode of Publish Me. We are grateful that they are having us back and to thank our friend Carolyn O'Neill for inviting us down. So that is the Blue Ridge Writers 2018 Book and Arts Fair, a Saturday, October 27th, 2018, at the City Space in downtown Charlottesville. Don't miss out.
Hello, this is Fiona the AOS21 Computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 13th of October. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Holy Ghost by John Sanford. Hardcover fiction number 1. The Next Person You Meet in Heaven by Mitch Albom, paperback trade fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan, combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, Killing the Essays by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Duggard, hardcover nonfiction number 1, Killing the Essays by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Duggard, paperback nonfiction number 1, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari, young adult hardcover number 1, The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas, and from Publishers Weekly, Sales for the week ending the 14th of October is supplied by NPD Books and top 10 overall number 1, Dare to Lead by Brene Brown, top hardcover front list fiction number 1, The Next Person You Meet in Heaven by Mitch Albom, top hardcover front list non-fiction number 1, Dare to Lead by Brene Brown, top trade paper front list number 1, The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris, top mass market front list number 1, Fall from Grace by Danielle Steele, top children's front list fiction number 1, Dog Man, Lord of the Fleas by Dav Pilkey. Who let Mitch Albom and Bill O'Reilly on this list? I want names, people. Now back to Keith for the home report.
Thank you, Fiona. And now for the home report. This past week, we announced details of the release of the 2018 AS21 Annual, now available from the AS21 market. Visit as21.com/annual for more information. AS21 merchandise is now available on tpublic.com. The direct-to-garment retailer features designs from several AS21 podcasts and titles. Visit the new store today by clicking the link at as21.com or visit tpublic.com/stores/as21-market. Find great things like something branded with some of your favorite AS21 podcast logos. AS21 Audio has renewed its call for listener feedback. You can still fill out surveys for the AS21 podcast, such as the one you're listening to right now. Visit surveys.as21.com. You will be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 market and entered for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. But also take a moment to click over to iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, or whatever podcast service you're listening to, and leave us a review. Good or bad, these reviews help us reach a wider audience. It can also help us as we develop new programming and sponsorship opportunities. Like what we're doing, leave 5 stars in a short review. Not so much, leave however many stars you feel are appropriate, but then tell us why in the review. We appreciate any and all feedback on our podcast series. In fact, we checked it out last week, and we found that both It's Not Even Past and The World's Only Podcast have been garnering 5 out of 5 star reviews on iTunes. Thank you so much to those that have been leaving reviews on those podcasts over the past few weeks. On Saturday, this month's episode of Between the Beltways was released as host Deepan Chatterjee, PhD, and Shreyasi Deb, PhD. Welcome back, National Journal correspondent Zach C. Cohen, to do a final breakdown on the midterm races. Find Between the Beltways on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Sunday night is Ask AS21 the 21st night, with me taking questions on Periscope and YouTube. The full video should be soon available on the AS21 YouTube channel and video.as21.com. In the week ahead, we'll be thanking all of the great contributors to the AS21 Annual for their support. To receive a list early, sign up for the weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21. On Saturday, we'll be in Charlottesville for the Blue Ridge Writers Art and Book Fair at City Space on the Downtown Mall. Join us as we'll be doing author interviews for the Publishing Podcast and offering discounts on past editions of the AS21 Annual. Visit events.as21.com for more information. As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter at AS21 or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Remember, you can support this and the other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series on Patreon. Support today starting at just $1 a month, and you'll get access to a creative-only blog with news directly from our creators, special episodes of some of the podcasts you love, and other wonderful special gifts. Go to patreon.com/AS21 and become a patron of the arts today. Also, remember, you can sponsor this and the other AS21 podcasts through AdvertiseCast. We have various rates available, ranging from 15 seconds up to a minute, as well as special bonuses such as postings on AS21 Twitter account and our Facebook pages. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. We are now available on Spotify, so welcome to all Spotify subscribers as they listen today. Otherwise, you can find our podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?